seems static. You know, everyone says the stuff moves, but it doesn't move. You can watch it for 5 minutes and you won't see it move because it's just so slowly. It's like Robert singing about the turtle or the tortoise crossing the road and every now and then lifts his head to see, am I moving? And it's the same here. In their reality, things are moving fast, but you won't notice it because it happens too slow. When we speak about prayer, when we speak about intercession, there are basically four things. I'm not going to go through my notes. We don't have time. Basically four things. First of all, intercession, the Greek word or the Hebrew word paga, means to meet with. It's, at its core, that's what it means. So firstly, it's a meeting between you and God. When you paga, when you intercede, when you meet with God, it's God, I'm here to meet with you. And we sing some of those songs. And in essence, that's what it is. And when you intercede for someone else, say for instance, when the China team was there, every morning we met, we say, God, we're meeting with you so that you may meet with the people that are out of our reach. We meet with you to meet with them. God, I meet with you. Please meet with them. Paga with them. God, do the following. Do the following with them. So first of all, it's a meeting with God and always a meeting on behalf of someone else. God, please meet with this person. We stand in the gap. We meet. Then the third one, paga means literally just, it's a meeting with the enemy. It's literally, it's like one of the verses in Ecclesiastes says, speaks about, it's something like a fool, and then it says, who meets a bear when he comes between the bear and a cub. You have a meeting. It will be a violent meeting. It will be extremely violent meeting, but the word paga is the same. So it's the same. When we go into prayer and you pray for someone's deliverance, like in some people here today, that they'll be set free from inhibition. That's why I said to some of the guys here before, it's not like shame, aramaye. This is now warfare. We're going to pray because this person must be set free from inhibition in a small way. But so much so, when we had a friend, I'm just looking at some of the guys in our cell that we've been praying for, a guy who's been, who had like just, it's a friend of ours for many, many years addicted to stuff. So when we meet with God, we meet with God and then we turn and stand next to God, seated on the throne. We are seated with Christ in the place of rule in heavenly places. And then we meet the enemy straight on and we say, listen, you demon of addiction, the Lord rebuke you. And we warfare constantly until this guy is set free. It's not a once-off thing. In our kids' coffee days, microwaves, dry-food stuff, we want everything to happen once-off. But just like that kelp forest will take over and all the sea urchins will die because it will have no sunlight unless they persistently eat the kelp that grows. They persistently, on a daily basis, face their enemy, which is kelp. It's pathetic, but it's their enemy. So it's a constant warfare. Every one of this stuff, it's hard work, constantly, sticky for sticky, five with those five teeth replaceable. Eat every one of the strongholds, lots of them working together until the kelp pillar tree is released and blown away by the wind. That's warfare, constant warfare. So that's prayer. We meet with the enemy. And then the third thing, which we did with the China team every single day, and this is why you need to pray every single day, is because paga also means boundary line, meeting place, fence. That which separates that territory from this territory. Psalm 16 says, my boundary lines, my borders have fallen in pleasant places. The lines have fallen. It literally paga. The meeting line between the edge of my territory means the edge between my territory and the territory of an opposer. That's why I set up a fence. That's why the Bible says, when we intercede, God says, I'm calling for a man to stand in the gap because the wall is broken down. Someone needs to be there to paga, to meet the enemy approaching. To stand in the gap, literally we use that term all the time. But it's paga, it's a meeting place. My boundary. So we pray on a daily basis, and you need to pray. And I want to encourage you, especially dads, especially men, husbands. On a daily basis, you pray for a boundary line. You maintain the border every single day of your life and your family's life. And from those, that's why at F3 we do the strong man thing. We just pray for the strong man, and you take the ownership to pray for my family, or for those who can't fight for themselves on a daily basis. You set up a boundary every single day. That's what it means to watch. God says, listen, I've put watchmen on your walls. I've put watchmen on your pagah, on your meeting places, to watch who approaches, to set the guard on a daily basis. We pray persistently every single day, because every single day we watch over. And God is extremely gracious, because when you're a young Christian, you just got saved recently, I want to encourage you, there's mega grace. But at some point, you must grow up and take ownership. Just like a small boy, no one assumes of Reuben to take any of the duties at home. He's being taught to clean his room, and that's all. He's slowly, but he doesn't need to clean the garage now. Does Herman? So, nee, nog nie, okay. Doesn't need to do that. He's got a carefree life because he learns responsibility. His dad won't entrust him with stuff that he can't do now. But the boy is growing up. And when that boy is 20 years old and he's done nothing but put away his toys, there's something wrong in the home, because he must take ownership of the territory, responsibility. So Paga, every day we meet with God. Every day we meet with God and saying, God, I meet with you for this person. This is their need. God, this marriage is falling apart. This friend is sick in the hospital. We're going to listen to his testimony, Deval's testimony now. God, this is a situation at work. God, I'm meeting with you to have a meeting with this person, intervene. And God always speaks to us. Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to ask God over and over and over for the same thing? It's a distribution of grace. The Bible says that the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man is powerful, avails much, is strong, does a lot. The word there is energy in the Greek. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man has power, has energy. So literally, it's a distribution of God's grace. That's what we do when we pray. That's why many times when we pray, we don't speak to God. God, Father, I've spoken to you. Listen here, you demon. Get the hell away from my home. I'm praying, but I'm definitely not talking to God. I'm praying from God's throne room of grace. We approach the throne room of grace daily to speak to God, and the Bible says, come boldly, come flat out, run to me. You don't have to crawl in, just come in, you're a son. And then the Bible says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and then we turn and we stand next to Jesus. And then we have meeting with the enemy on a daily basis. And many of you have prayed now, and I want to ask Deval just to share a testimony of the things. Guys, I want to encourage you to pray, to set up a boundary, but I want to ask you to do more, to continue to pray for those that need prayer, for your family members. Be specific in your prayer. This morning I said, the blind Bartimaeus, the blind man in Matthew, chapter 1, verse 42. He went to Jesus, and he was screaming next to the road. He couldn't walk to Jesus because there were too many people, and he was blind. So he was standing there, and he knew it was Jesus coming, and he said, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy. And he's going out like that for a long time. Please don't get offensive. I want to show the point, because that's what Jesus was showing. Have mercy, Jesus, Son of David. And Jesus ignored the man for a long time until he saw the man had faith. He was serious. And then he says, listen, don't tell the guy to shut up. I'm coming to him. And he came there, and the man stood up, and he knew something's going to change. But then Jesus asked him, how's it? What do you want me to do? And he's like, have mercy on me. And Jesus is like, what do you want? What do you want me to do? And he's like, that I might see. And Jesus said, that's it. Thank you. Touched him. He says, you're clean. Thanks. Let's go. You're healed. Why? Why did Jesus? Because Jesus wants you to be specific. Faith is specific. It's not, Lord, let your grace upon me. Oh, God, I pray for Deval's son in the hospital. I just pray that your grace may rain upon him, God. And the Lord's like, why? What do you want me to do? It's like, Lord, the boy's throat is so swollen that he can't breathe and he's dying. Lord, in Jesus' name, let that throat be healed. Let the viral infection die. edit uit. Viral infection, die, and let him breathe. God, let his immune system kick in because he's not fighting this thing. He's dying. So be specific in your prayer. Don't pray nonsense. Jesus said, don't pray like the pagans. They talk all the time. They're saying nothing. Some preachers are like that, so I'm going to stop now. And he's saying, don't be like the pagans who use many words and say nothing. Their prayers are useless. Be specific in your prayer. Say what you want to say. Ask what you want to ask. Speak what you want to speak. But prayer is meet with God for someone else sometimes. Sometimes we face the enemy and then we don't talk to God. We talk to the mountain or to the fig tree. Jesus said, speak to the mountain, wants to take a swim. Speak to the fig tree, die from the root. You don't talk to God about the fig tree. You don't talk to God about the mountain. You talk to God about God. And then you speak on his behalf. And lastly, we set up that perimeter on a daily basis. A daily basis. That's why prayer of agreement is so powerful. Duval, please, you wanted to thank the church. There's some photos if you want to use them.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Ross. Yes, you can show the photos if you want to. For those who haven't seen it. Yes, they are. That's the sexy pastor. And maybe I can start there. No, I'm not going to start there. But anyway, this journey of mine for the past couple of months started, actually. And I don't want to be funny, but, you know, I was at a place where God started to speak to me. And or I was just saying, God, as a man, because I was nowhere, as a pastor even. And I was standing at a place and I said, please, if I'm a man, you know, just ask a man, just give a man something to do. If we can do something, then we're okay. Okay, don't let us express our feelings and all that. We're not that good at that. But doing stuff. So I said, God, what must I do? Just to kind of get back to that connection with you that I really long for. And you know what God said? Duval, start to exercise. How spiritual is that? But anyway, that's where it started. And now I can look back and I can just say that, you know, God has started getting me back to disciplines. And I know that that Ross is big on that. And that's what I learned from him. And Ross, I want to honor you and Magrit. Thanks. And you as a church. We really appreciate what you guys have done for us the past 2 weeks. It was really a blessing. And yeah, Ross, I just want to say that, you know, I don't come here often. And I see you a lot as a friend, but the authority in which you operate at the moment is totally different from the time that I left here. And I want to honor you with it. And, you know, God is really using you mightily. He came to preach at our church in Malmesbury on Sunday morning last week. Yeah, and God moved in worship and he just canned his sermon and then he did a better one by the Spirit of God, obviously. But it's just that thing that God has placed in you, it's coming to the front, and I'm really blessed by you. But, yeah, next slide. Then we're in there, and we went to Stillby for a holiday, and as we came back, or Ross and Magrit came back from there, and the evening after they left, I woke up, and it was, and we were not alone. And as I woke up, I just knew that there is something that I cannot see, but that's not of God, and it's here now. And I can feel it. And I started to pray, and as I'm praying, my wife, lying next to me asleep, she's starting to minister to those demons in her sleep. Have you heard that? Okay, those of you not married, it sounds like this. So anyway, my wife is speaking to the demons, and I know now I must wake her up gently. Otherwise, I might get it in the face. So I wake up my wife gently, and she's in unity with me that something is really wrong now. And yeah, and I got up, and I want to bless God for taking me through that previous slide, because you know you grow with God. But when you get into disciplines and leaving all your nonsense, Okay? And that's a big one for our guys. If you leave your nonsense, then when you come to God, you've got, you know that you belong here. I know we're supposed to know that we belong in God's presence because that's what we need to know. But when you get into disciplines, really get to God and stop your nonsense, then you come there with boldness. You enter there boldly because the accuser of the brethren, he will make sure that you are accused when you come to God. Doesn't have anything on you. But anyway. Then I got up and I started to pray. And we had some oil there and I started to self, hallelujah. Mama's body is robbing me of my English. But anyway, anoint, there we go, hallelujah. I must come and preach here more often. But anyway, so I started to anoint the place. And I specifically felt that I needed to anoint Maynard. That's Maynard. Because, you know, that's just what the Spirit led in my heart. And after that, my wife and I had communion. And we just reminded God of what He has done on the cross. And also the spiritual realms of what Jesus has done. And then after that, about 10, 20 minutes, you know, of that, then that pressing thing was gone. So I thought, okay, hallelujah. Now we can sleep. So we slept. And then we're in here. And Maynard got ill. And he got, hallelujah, we are in the doctor's place. Acute epiglottitis. I did not know what that is. But anyway, your tlen tongiki swells up so much that you cannot get air through your lung. To your lungs, through your throat. Okay, so that's what he got. And we took a while to get to the hospital because it's weird how you start, you know, when your kids get sick, it's like, okay, it'll get better. And we did the nebs and everything at home. And then the morning when he was not looking well at all, I just decided, okay, we're going to go because Danelle was emailing the pediatrician and he didn't respond. And I said, listen, we're packing. We're going. So we went, and just before we went, he replied. And when she sent the mail about, he's quailing a lot. Figure it out for yourself. Drooling. When he's drooling, and then he just replied and said, you get here now. And we got in there, and Maynard was not even checked into the hospital. And he was in theater already. That's a miracle in itself. Hallelujah. Amen. So after he's been out and already in ICU, then we did the paperwork. But that's wonderful. That's all the prayers that happened. So it started there. And the next slide, I don't know where we're at. And it looked like that for a while. And they stuck him full of holes and stuff. But at least, that's when he started to wake up. But Dormicum puts you out as an adult for, if you've got 10 mils in you, for about 7 or 8 hours. He was on 8 mils an hour for 4 days. Because he's so little, his liver is working overtime and very effective. So he always just wanted to get up, you know. He's my little fighter. Hallelujah. So they had to really sedate him. But anyways, getting back to what God has done. Hallelujah. God is, in times like this, then you start asking questions. And we started to ask questions. And I asked questions myself. You know, I asked at the beginning when it started. I just had this thought, and I know many of us have that. I had this thought that, is it because of sin in my life? You know, that this is happening to my boy. But as I had the thought, God just came and He just reassured me in my spirit and said, it's not because of your sin that this is happening. So I was fine. Hallelujah. Sin is Papa's guilty. And we started to pray, and then Danel also asked, when it went on for 3 days and the guy is not getting better, or it looked like that, then she said, but we believe in Jesus. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Why doesn't he get healed? Also good questions to ask, but that's what this 7-minute sermon was about. And God just came and He challenged me in what I see as warfare. And this is so important, what Rosh is sharing with you guys. What happened was he got better, like that, and then he got extubated. I think it's the one after this. And hallelujah for that, that was a great moment. And he got extubated. And then about an hour after that, he started to close up again. Now that is a faith challenge for a dad. But the God is so faithful. The pediatrician worked with Maynard. And I don't know if he do. I don't think he does it with all his patients. But I had a scripture and God just came and opened my eyes to a scripture that I use often as a pastor, and when, especially when we pray. The scripture says, when the enemy comes, or that's how I quoted it. The scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then God will raise a standard. You know that scripture. Okay, we all know it. But if you go and read in Isaiah 59 verse 19, it says, that's how I quote it, but it says in the New King James Version that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And it changed my mind and my heart. It's kind of like God saying, Duval, when he comes in specifically for a purpose, taking out your boy, the Holy Spirit will be specific in raising up a standard against him, against that attack, against, you know, it's just that strategic thing that God does. And that's what happened in Stilby. You know, I didn't know what was coming. I was just woken up by the Holy Spirit, making me alert to the enemies coming in like a flood, and then giving me strategy to start to pray for raising up the standard. So, glory be to Jesus for what He does through us. And that's where we need to be vigilant. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard against him. But then, his throat started to close again. That's his... I put on Facebook, when I saw that one, I said, that's Judah, his big teddy bear. And I just put there, say, hey Judah, how do you like it here in the cockpit of the Mirage? But anyway. So now we started to pray again, because now he was closing up again. But the pediatrician, I was still speaking there. You know, he was so touched by Maynard and by all the prayers of the people and just the scriptures and the things, and especially that scripture of Isaiah 59:19, is that he asked me afterwards, that he asked if he could have the picture of Maynard and that scripture. He wanted to take it to his office. So anyways, then we started to pray again, and hallelujah for BlackBerry. I had my, I almost said conference call, but it's a broadcast message. So whenever Maynard's throat closed up after that extubation, I just broadcast message and said, people, we need to pray. And those of you who've got it, I honor you. Thank you for praying. I really appreciate it. Because every time after that, it ceased, okay? And he could breathe again. But then it would come again. And then I'd broadcast message once again. And then we prayed again. And he could breathe again. And that went on for a while. And Danielle also said that as she was praying, she just sees this, it's like a snake head next to Maynard. And Ross, at the beginning, when this started, he just felt that it was a spirit of infirmity. Something that wants to bring sickness and to kill. And I could still feel that spiritual thing because it was there in my spirit the whole time. And now it's already been a week almost. And still we haven't had that. And then, you know, when I was at the end of myself, I SMS'd everybody again, we need to pray. And it was kind of like God opening this sanctuary for me and my boy. Everybody was out. I just read him scripture. I took Paul's letters and we just read them. And it was great to see him respond because his spirit responds. Even though he's in Dormicum land. But he comes out of it when I speak to him. And when I started to read to him, he just surfaced. And then God just helped me to speak to that little boy of mine's spirit. and I spoke and I prophesied and what he's going to do in this world. Kind of like the John Q thing, you know, when John Q, the movie, when the dad was in the hospital, his boy needed a new heart, he was going to give him his heart. And just before he was going to kill himself so they can use his heart, put it in his boy's body, then he spoke to his boy. Well, that's one of those moments that I had. But in that place, it's kind of like God just opening my spirit up to do warfare. And you guys were praying with us as well. And it was 4 o'clock on Thursday. 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon, it lifted. They could feel it. I could feel it. Danielle could feel it. And then it was over. Okay? It's not over. We're still praying. Being vigilant, drawing the pagas and all of that. But God is so faithful. It lifted and he's getting better. And that was his first meal. He had a stokkie lekker. And then the last one, that's the second last one. Really was all his other things were taken off. And then we went home on Saturday. So God was good and God is faithful. But I want to just end with this. Yaku, I know there's many of you, but Yaku Berger, he was also praying for Maynard. And, you know, it was one of those things that I thought, yeah, hallelujah. Because I'm a dad and I can handle these things. But my boy is two. And I'm going to translate roughly from Afrikaans to English as I read this. Please forgive me. Anyway, he said that he just saw this picture the whole time of Maynard being a warrior in the front lines. And Satan is trying to take him out, but he would not succeed. Jesus, and this is what blew my mind, Jesus is using Maynard already to shift things in the spirit. And I was like, it's freaking amazing! And he's only two. Because God has drawn many people into unity. And he was shifting things in the spirit, especially in Mama's spirit as well. And then he just encouraged me to keep on prophesying over him. And my eyes opened to, you know, our kids, that generation, it's important to God. Really. They're going to move in power that we can only dream of. And Satan wants to take them out. Thanks for praying. We really, really appreciate it.
That's a picture of Maynard this morning, sleeping on on Judah and Ura sleeping there in the back. That's Ura at the back. Yeah. Anyway. If the ushers can please hand out communion, I'm going to share one last story just about the power of prayer. Hildegard, there's the last picture of my notes for tonight's sermon. I'm going to close with the last picture of the notes of the sermon. There's a funny man, Count Zinzendorf. I'll tell you quickly something about the power of Count Zinzendorf, Niklaus. He lived at the edge, at the border of West Switzerland and Germany. Ah, Jochie, was not on Abbey Gewiss. Comes together. Lived in the 18th century, the 1700s. And just want to get my communion, otherwise, I'm going to get distracted. Men can mostly do one thing at a time. So, he had a few refugees of the Protestant Reformation and that came to live, to pluck, just to live on his ground. And he gave them property and he built them a small church. He was a Christian. Even when he was 15, 16 years old, he would start prayer meetings and prayer circles. When he left college, he was quite a learned man. He actually had 7 prayer circles that he started just on the campus, just because he was ministering about Christ to the people. And Count Zinzendorf, these pluckers from all over, they had their fighting. Their small xenophobia events and stuff, and they were always quarreling. It was a farming community. And then all of a sudden, he just had enough. Because he would preach, and they would all come holy to church, and then the week that had the fighting between the families, about 34 families, so it was a very small community. And he had it, that was enough. So one night, the date there, the 13th of August, he called the guys together and he said, this is it. The fighting ends here. Come to church, everyone. and he forced everyone to come to his church. And everyone was in the small Herren hut, small prayer hut. And they had them there, and he said, okay, cool. We're going to pray now, and we're going to have communion and make peace. That's not why we have communion tonight. We're going to make peace. And we're going to ask God to establish the unity that he already has, because we're all believers. And they started praying, confessing their sins to one another, asking forgiveness. The Holy Spirit fell, and they started praying. That prayer meeting lasted uninterrupted for more than 100 years. They never had someone not praying in that church building for 120 years. For 120 years, the Moravians prayed. And everyone from all over heard that God was doing something. They had 24 men and women. That night it says, we will not leave here because God is here and we're going to pray. For 100 years, they started praying. They sent out more than 2,000 missionaries in that 100 years. Now, please remember they're a community of 34 people. So whenever someone comes in there, he gets saved. The first missionaries they sent out were people who sold themselves as slaves because they heard about the plantations in the West Indies, about the slave trade, people using the plantations and how harsh it was. And they couldn't. They started weeping for these people. And two of the first men sold themselves as slaves to minister in the West Indies. Methodist Church, John and Charles Wesley, they got saved from missionaries that were born, that got saved here in this small community church. The power of prayer. They moved all over the world, literally, to Alaska. We're not allowed to say this, but Eskimos. They were the first missionaries that, this is the bad word in Canada anyway, but the missionaries that we went there, most of the Indian tribes in Canada, the native Indian tribes, we actually evangelized from there, India, China, all over the world. There's a Moravian church. I always smiled when I drove past it here in Belhar, in Cape Town. That comes from there, Moravians. So I want to say that there's real extreme power in prayer. And when we pray together, it is where God's grace is distributed. That's the means of God's grace. How God's grace is distributed, not only for me, but for people and situations. So we're going to meet with God tonight. And our meeting is because of a meeting that took place. We're going to pagaw with God. That happened 2,000 years ago. Psalm 86, I think it's verse 15, it says, mercy and truth pagaw, met together. And God's grace and righteousness met. So it's the place where we meet Jesus, where God's wrath for our sin came upon Jesus and God's mercy met with us. Where our sin was transferred to Jesus and the wrath of God was transferred to him so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'd like us just to, in small circles, to have communion and just, if the Lord speaks to you, and I believe he does to all of us, to just awaken us to pray again, then to say, God, I hear what you're saying. Awaken my heart to prayer. Psalm 109, I showed the scripture this morning, we don't have to show it now. But Psalm 109, I think it's the fourth verse, it says, David said, my enemies come against me all the time, and they speak lies. But I give myself to prayer. I love that. So tonight, let's give ourselves to prayer, to meet with God on behalf of other people, not just ourselves, because of God's grace and God's kingdom coming to us. You can just have communion and just thank God for his body which was broken and for his blood which flowed for the remission of sins. And just in your small group, we're going to close.